A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hanson Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, live here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Stop by, say hi. We got the Jazz gear out in front, so you want to grab some Jazz gear. We still got some of that. Grab a shirt, hang out. Travis will roast you, make you feel better about yourself. You're good to go.
Always.
Come in if you can't find a car. Mike will give you piggyback rides to wherever you need to be.
See? Full service.
Get up to the Murray location. Go see Johnny V. You can find any Tesla that you want. I saw a couple Porsches on the lot here.
Got it going on, bud.
Travis, you've boosted things on this lot.
Dude, we're really getting into, we're coming into our own right now. I mean, we've got to service guys like you.
It's looking good. Exactly. It's looking good, man. So come in, check it out, grab a shirt, hang out with us a little bit, and I'll tell you, you're not going to find a better price on a vehicle, and you're not going to find better backing than you'll find at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. Been a lot of fun over the years, man. Yeah, this partnership.
Time. David Locke's going to join us coming up here in a moment. Get his thoughts on the NBA playoffs. I was a little bummed out. I was hoping to get a good game last night. I had more fun watching hockey last night than I did watching NBA basketball because that game was.
Well, I kind of wondered watching Steph Curry. It felt like Steph Curry was like, "Oh, so you were all talking about Luka, and that was really cool, and he's really cool. But how many rings does he have? I've got a lot." I've got a lot going for me here. I think that Steph Curry reminded us all last night why he's...
Steph Curry.
Yeah. The best.
Joining us now, David Locke, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz. David, how are you?
Hey, David.
I'm great. I really wish hockey and NBA playoffs were not at the same time. Like, I would love to dig in. I'm not going to dig in. I'm going to watch the Warriors throttle. The Mavericks. I was texting with an NBA coach last night who had the best comment about the Dallas Mavericks last night. They're tired and they're chasing raindrops.
Sounds like a TLC song. Like,
right? But isn't it exactly what they were doing? They were tired because they're coming off that other series. And then they were literally just running around trying to catch every raindrop because the Warriors just kept moving and moving and moving and moving.
They move. Yeah, and what was incredible is how many easy shots they wound up with. Klay Thompson slashing at the rim or somebody. You know, it was pretty incredible. Their off-ball movement, David, is high level.
Well, the reason they – so, two things. I want to be perfectly clear. I watched that game and thought to myself, we have no chance to guard them. So just want to make sure I'm not suddenly like acting like the homer. Oh, we'd match up with them. Like, I watched Phoenix, and I was like, oh, we could totally guard them. The Warriors, we'd have a hard time. But we do something to the Warriors, and the reason the Warriors generally have not really liked to play the Jazz is that what's not – everyone thinks of the Warriors as this, like, mad three-point shooting team, but they're not. What they really are is a team that gets to the rim. They get to the rim much more than Phoenix or other teams because of the fact they're spread and open and Draymond's conducting from the top and they're back-cutting and Draymond's such a great passer and they're doing all these things – they're able to get to the rim, and so the Jazz actually are one of the best teams in the league, obviously taking away the rim, and so that actually has always caused Golden State some problems. It's why when Golden State beat us in that last game of the year, it was because they went bananas on that dribble handoff play where Draymond, you know, hands it off to Steph or Clay, and Rudy's back taking away all the cutting to the rim, and we didn't have any, and then Clay and Steph are wide open off the handoff. So, you know, we wouldn't have an answer for that. That's where we would, you know, we'd still be in serious trouble in this matchup. But we do something that makes the Warriors struggle, and that is the fact that they really, and it's where the, Dallas is just, for all the talk of, like, how do the Warriors guard Luka, which, you know, is legit. But the other side of that is that the Dallas is, like, the greatest matchup ever for the Warriors because Dallas doesn't play it big. And so they'll be able to get to the rim throughout the series.
How impressive have you been with Jimmy Butler in his playoff run?
Like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Like, wow. Like, that's a totally different player than regular season Jimmy Butler, isn't it?
Yeah.
I also think it might be recognition of what that team has to have. Like, if Kyle Lowry's not playing, and I get Tyler Hero's good, and they're not getting, you know, Duncan Robinson is now completely relegated to the bench, I wonder if Jimmy, that's really just a great recognition of, like, well, it's the playoffs, and while we beat everyone in the NBA in this kind of collective move-the-ball group thing this year, there's we can't do that in the playoffs. Like, it's not going to work that way. Jimmy's got to be Jimmy, and they've just kind of unleashed him.
I was looking at the stat. It's pretty impressive. He's had 5 40-point games with Miami, all five of them in the postseason.
I know. It's crazy. You know how much easier it is to have a 40-point game in the regular season? Why is he making it so hard on himself?
I don't know. It's incredible. And then Scotty and I were talking about this yesterday. It's not like he's, you know, Mr. Get-Along with everybody on that team either. Whether
no.
he's battling with his coach or battling with his teammates, he seems like he's got that competitive edge where losing is just completely unacceptable, and if he's got to break a relationship because of it, he will.
Well, I'm not, you know, do you know his upbringing?
No, I don't.
So he was homeless as a kid. He literally faxed in his letter of intent from the local McDonald's because he didn't have a home. His mother had, unlike the Michael Orr story where Michael Orr's parents kind of abandoned Michael Orr and he gets found in Blindside, this sounds more like Jimmy was so unbearable and maybe, frankly, dangerous at times that his mom said, like, I can't handle you. You got to go. So he's living. Jordan Leslie, the former BYU wide receiver, is the one, his family is the Mike, is the Blindside family for Jimmy Butler. But again, not quite the same thing. Doesn't sound like all the time. Doesn't sound like at that stage in Jimmy's life, his ability to control his impulses was such that you wanted him around every day, right? If that makes sense. And so what you have, so that's the backstory on him is this really, you know, tragic upbringing. And I think, you know, is still impacted by that, is frankly, you know, I'm 51 and would love to say that my upbringing doesn't impact me anymore, but think it still does. And so I think some of these impulses and these outbursts you see from Jimmy and the lack of trust and maybe what, you know, the willingness to just sever a relationship and some of these things that we saw out of him in Miami, in Minnesota, if there's, you know, they're understandable when you know the background story of who Jimmy Butler is.
All right, so I do not know what your reaction is going to be to this. I am presenting this without opinion, so don't attack me if you get sideways with this. But I did read a interesting story in The Athletic.
Calm, wait a second, I'm a very calm person. When have I ever
You are about as calm as you're being truthful right now. So
yeah, thank you.
So no. No, but there was an interesting story in The Athletic that talked about the Mavericks and their success against the Jazz and in the second round as well, and then how it comes from the Clippers against the Jazz last year and the five out and the evolution of the potential evolution of the game of basketball. Does that diminish the value that Rudy Gobert brings to a team if the NBA continues to evolve this way?
I think it was John Hollinger piece, wasn't it?
Yes. Yep.
I think that the other day when Brooke Lopez got kind of caught on the same thing as Rudy Gobert and the Jazz did against the Clippers, and what, and DeAndre Ayton became irrelevant in game 7 of that series, was not a great day for centers in the NBA. Here's the craziest part about that. The number one trend in the league right now, more so than anything else, is taking away the rim defensively. There's no bigger trend, statistical change from year to year going on in the league right now than teams taking away the rim. I could bore you with the statistics, but it's really kind of a podcast bore you rather than a talk show bore you. So basically a few years ago, Milwaukee was the first team that kept opponents at 30% of their shots or less at the rim. And I think there were 7 teams that did it this year. Okay. So crazy number. Quinn used to talk about 40-40-20. Like, you want 40% of your shots at the rim. Like, I don't think you can get 40% of your shots at the rim right now if you decide it was the only – Houston came close this year. They, like, basically decided it was the only thing they were ever going to do was shoot at the rim. And then bomb threes. It's almost impossible. So there's this incredible contrast going on right now in the league that the number one defensive thing everyone wants to do is deny the rim, which they may be doing so well that it forces then the very good teams can go play 5 out, and then you end up with games like that where centers have bad games or don't look as valuable. So I don't know the answer on this, and it's a really interesting paradox that exists in the NBA right now.
Well, David, there's also kind of a strange back current of arguments and complaints from individuals and insiders as well, saying, well, when you've got a team that runs small and you've got a guy like Rudy, why can't you finish with a 7-2 guy that's where teams got the tallest at 6'9", 6'10"? Why can't you finish with that 7-2 at the rim? And you talk about taking away the rim. What are they doing defensively to stop Rudy? Even though Rudy's got the size, what are you doing defensively to stop that at the rim?
Well, I think – there's a few things there. I mean, one, Rudy's not particularly offensive skilled, and Rudy traditionally, if anybody gets between him and the basket, has a hard time scoring, right? And what was interesting is that DeAndre Ayton couldn't do it either, right? DeAndre Ayton's pretty good, supposed to be a really good offensive player, and suddenly in that same setting, he wasn't able to do it. So some of it is, you know, league rules. You're able to rotate and bring guys over and you know, Dallas is over-shifting and taking away your role and then get athletic enough to get out to the shooters. And they're able to try to take away the rim while still being athletic enough to get out to threes and doing it, you know, with they're not small, right? So it's not like that, you know, Jalen Brunson's the only small guy on that roster. Maxi Kleber's 6'10", Luka 6'8", Dorian Finney-Smith 6'6". So if you roll one of those guys down on a big, it's not a total mismatch. I'm not great, but it's not you're not dead, right?
Right.
You know, Artis Gilmore and Kareem aren't out there anymore. Let me ask you this. Let me flip it on you, okay? This is where I think it's fascinating. No question centers have had a bad playoffs. And it feels like centers are being played off. There's only 2 6'10" guys left in the playoffs. Maxi Kleber, I think Bam Adebayo is basically 6'10", Al Horford. So, like, they're 6'10 as the center. And this has been my point the whole time. That we're not getting smaller. We're just getting more skilled. The one position that's getting smaller is center. So the non-skilled center is going to have a hard time. With that said, if I told you you had to win 50 games for the next 3 years or come right around that range and you could only keep Rudy or Donovan, which do you think puts you in a better position to win 50 games?
Oh, that's a great question, by the way, and it would be Rudy every day of the week.
Right. Isn't that fascinating?
That's a great way to put it.
But yet, if you tell me that Rudy might not be very valuable in the playoffs, I might have to say, okay, like teams have found a way to exploit the Jazz defensively in a manner where Rudy's impact is minimized in the playoffs. That's factual now. That's the five out game we saw from against Milwaukee. That's what Phoenix, we saw Dallas do to Phoenix. And it has made it so these guys whose vital job is to protect the rim during the regular season suddenly are not as capable of protecting the rim in the playoffs.
David Locke joins us here, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Speaking of Phoenix, if you're that front office, and I think you probably have to, but are you concerned about giving a max contract to DeAndre Ayton?
Because of this conversation, yes. But I think the answer is no, right? Right? I mean, we're...
Yeah.
Like, DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul were the best pick-and-roll combination in the NBA. DeAndre Ayton's showing all sorts of developmental skills. DeAndre Ayton's pick-and-roll defense is way better than it's been in years. He's grown tremendously. He couldn't play in the playoffs. I don't know what you do. Like, it's nuts. It's totally nuts. The number one trend in the league is you have to have these guys to take away the rim and to defend in any way. And the other thing that's like, the other trend is like, who's still playing? The 1, 2, and 4 ranked defensive teams in the league. 2 years ago, the only teams that made the Final Four were the offensive teams. Now all of a sudden, the teams that are making the Final Four are the defensive teams.
Well, then you've always got the tough conversation, and it feels like it comes back to often, well, you got to spend your money somewhere. And there's not enough players to go around. I always hear that saying, you got to spend your money somewhere.
Yep. I mean, it's what Atlanta had a really interesting offseason in retrospect 2 years ago. I didn't love what they did because they had all these young players and you wanted them. I thought they should have had them developing and they were blocking the development, but they also had all this cap space. And if they didn't use the cap space then, they'd never use it. You can't, like, it doesn't go with you the next year. Then you start paying players and it fills up. So to that point, yeah, you do have to have you do have to spend your money somewhere. And you know, if I'm the Utah Jazz or I'm the San Antonio Spurs or the Phoenix Suns, you know, I think you happen to have a center who's a top 20 player, top 25 player in the NBA, and I think, you know, talent puts you in a good position. You know, I mean, it's just so thin. I think that's really what we're learning. You know, if the Warriors win, it won't be five different champions in 5 years because they will have won the first and the fifth, but it'll be five different champions for five straight years. No repeats for 5 years, which we actually haven't had happen very often. It's the league's different than it's been before. It's much more egalitarian or space, you know, evenly distributed. We have four teams left. I have no idea what the finals are going to be. Frankly, if we went eight teams were left, I didn't have any idea what the finals were going to be. I thought a lot of the teams that just lost could have, like, I would have probably picked Phoenix, Milwaukee if I had to pick, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Tom Middleton went out. Yeah.
We just never had this before. This is totally different. So this is where these contracts are. I mean, I'm assuming if Bojan makes that shot that Luka goes bananas in game seven, like we kind of owe him that respect, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But there is a chance the Jazz shoot footloose and fancy free in game seven in Dallas and win, right?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, is it too soon to ask you your opinion on Chet Holmgren?
No, because I'm mesmerized by Chet Holmgren. I was actually in a meeting with our Locked on NBA Big Board podcast the other day, and I was like, they're like, we're tired of talking about Chet Holmgren. I'm like, no, you're not, actually. You're not tired of talking about Chet Holmgren. You're going to talk about him every day for the next 6 weeks. He's the most interesting prospect that I've seen in a long time because his body says no.
Yeah.
His game says yes. And then his competitiveness and passion and zest don't match his body. And I don't know what that means. Like, I think the thing that's interesting to me is how hard he plays. That's what I like most about him. How hard he plays, how much he's in the right spot, how much he reads the game, how like impactful he is, when usually someone with that spindly body is kind of moved out of plays, deemed irrelevant, you know, and he doesn't have that problem at all. So he's fascinating. Would I is one GM in the league said to me, I'm glad I don't have the number one pick and have to decide on that.
Yeah, that's what I said yesterday. Like, you know, whether you're one, two, or three, whenever he's available, like, you're either going to, you know, you could bust and get fired, or you could miss a generational talent and get fired. So, yeah, giddy up.
Here's the I did a bunch of research many, many years ago, and probably need to update it, but I actually kind of off the top of my head think it's still 100% accurate. So I looked at players over the over 6'10", and if they were less than 220 or more than 280 and 270 was close, you were in trouble. You can't survive in the league at 6'10 and 220 and less, and you can't survive in the league at 6'8", 6'10 and 280 or more. You might just not be able to survive in the league at more than 280 or even maybe 270, 275. You just, and you, like you, Nikola Pekovic, Yao Ming, Eddie Curry, Shaq is the healthiest of them of any player ever of that size. But
where's
you,
Zion?
You can't,
is Zion about 275,
well, this
280?
Is, this is exactly where I'm going, Hans. Like, this had me the same way I did about Chad Holmgren. Like, I kept saying during the Zion Williamson draft, I don't think I could draft him. Now, at the time, we didn't know what Ja Morant was, and he was kind of clearly the second best player, and I think what R.J. Barrett was the third best player, and you kind of could see that R.J. Barrett wasn't, like, going to be a first-team All-NBA guy, and you're drafting one, and you didn't, Ja Morant was at Murray State, and so I think when push came to shove, I would have probably still drafted Zion Williamson, but I don't know that I would have. Like, I really believe in that. Like, there's just so much data there on those under 220s and over 275, 280s that you're really asking to buck a massive trend, and more than a trend, to get one of those players to be successful to a point where, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, like, if he's a 50, it's interesting, right? Because he's a 52% free throw shooter. You'd say, oh, I can't draft him because 52% free throw shooters don't survive. They just, it just ends up, look, you'd feel comfortable with it. But on the weight thing, you're like, oh, maybe this guy's body is different. You know, with Zion so far, that has turned out to be true. With Chet Holmgren, that's, he's in that range. Like, I don't know that he ever gets over 220. He's 190
well, David,
right now, right?
Yeah. David, speaking of the draft, Utah Jazz without a draft pick, what are the percentage odds that the Jazz will gain a draft pick by draft day?
A draft pick somewhere in the draft?
Yep.
100%.
All right.
Ooh. Sneaking into that second?
Yeah. Come on. Like, that's probably not fair, but you got, I have to believe that, or else watching a bunch of horrendous college basketball film for the next 2 months seems like a stupid way to
there it is. We knew we were going to get to it eventually.
You're telling yourself 100%.
Like, I'm so not bad. Putting this work in for nothing.
I was watching Jabari Smith. That's like supposed to be like, those are supposed to be like good teams. He's really interesting, but boy, bad, bad basketball. I think Jay Wright and Randy Ray are right. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I think there might be some other things involved in trying to get away from the college game right now, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You know, well, David.
By the way, I brought up the other day, just to add to this, because I want to give Alex and Scott credit. They kind of led me into this conversation I hadn't thought about before. But I think, without getting too personal, I think all three of us might have kids in this age range. I don't remember hands the ages of all your kids, but I know Scotty and I do. I would comfortably say that the age group of 16 to 24, maybe 16 to 22, if you're depending, is the most heavily impacted by COVID of any group in our society right now, and having the most extreme, you know, mental illness issues because of COVID and the impact it's had on their lives and what it's done to them, plus some other social media and other issues, that we have a really national crisis going on with this age group. And I think, as much as we're talking about, you know, nil and transfer portals and things of this sort, I think that plays into Jay Wright and Randy Ray also. Like, I just think it's just this group of kids coming up have just had a bad deal. And whether it's the fact that, you know, really smart people in Silicon Valley have made products that are intentionally designed to ruin their lives, or whether a pandemic ran through their lives, but I think this is just, I think that plays into Randy Ray and Jay Wright also. It's just, this group is just having, these kids are having a hard time.
Mm-hmm. It's going to take some unique coaches that can work through a lot of that. I think you're right, David.
Yeah. It's different.
Well, David.
And it needs to be, frankly.
Yeah.
Hey, appreciate it. Always good catching up with you. Hey, and by the way, speaking of kids, congratulations on all the good things happening, too.
Well, thanks. She played pretty well the other day. I'll never see that number in my lifetime. Hans, when was the last time you shot 67?
Never. That'd be a never.
We were actually going to have a family outing this weekend where everyone played until they shot 67 and then you had to go home.
67.
I'd be out after the front nine.
I know.
Thanks, David.
I figured I'd make it to like 13.
Yeah. See you, David.
Thanks, David.
See ya. Bye.
David Locke right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
So he said 100% that the Jazz would obtain a draft pick. Did he say that just purely for self, at least convincing himself?
Okay. You know what? Now you think about it. You could see it happening because if a trade does go down, it'll probably go down on draft day.
Yeah.
Or right before. And it will probably involve draft picks. So, yeah. I mean, whether it involves if it's a big one, involves Rudy or Donovan, or if it's one of the, and I say minor, but it's still pretty big in terms of Conley or Boyan, those will probably be moved. And, yeah, there'll probably be some draft selection. So, essentially, what David's telling you there is that he anticipates that there'll be some trades of some sort on or around draft day.
Hmm. Well, we'll see. It's coming.
Yep. All right. Hanging out here, Larry H. Miller, Used Car Supermarket. He's now woken up after that long, boring segment.
No, that wasn't boring at all. It was awesome.
Interesting,
nice to listen to. Yeah, it is truly interesting.
You played some basketball. You were a baseball guy.
Yeah, baseball and football.
You're all baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
You still
second base? Short.
I know you got a little man that's out there doing his thing.
Yeah, three of them. Three of them going off. Yeah,
we got three.
Baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, they're. Yeah, they played for quite a while. My 14-year-old's up at he's starting to do a bunch of work up at Alta, and he's looking really, really good. And my middle child's doing really well with some Corner Canyon stuff, and then Elite program for my 10-year-old. My oldest is just finishing up with Elite comp.
Is that year round?
No, not year round. But I mean, they play over 80 games. You know,
a lot of games, man.
Yeah, I think Nikki. You know, my wife is traveling out of town. 9 times this year for baseball. So
three boys in baseball would
pretty
be
pretty nuts. Yeah,
that would be insane.
She's going 24/7. You know, they got practice till 10 o'clock at night out of the facility.
Oh yeah,
all that stuff. Yeah, my whole garage is not a garage anymore. It's a hitting
batting
pitching.
Cage.
Yeah, it's a batting cage and pitching and you know soft toss and all kinds of.
We
stuff.
We only get a certain amount of time to do this, though.
No, yeah, that's true. It's the kids definitely take it for granted. take it for granted for sure. Yeah,
they'll get it someday.
Yeah, they'll get it someday for sure.
When they're paying those Super League fees,
it's certainly nice to see them play, man. You guys get it, right?
Oh yeah,
boy, it's something else, isn't it?
Well, if you need a car to haul around three baseball playing kids, you know you need that big truck to throw the team in the back of. Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket's going to have it. And, you know, I really want to push the inventory that you got on this lot. I can tell a lot of work has gone into this, getting this lot full. It's jam-packed.
It's jam-packed, but, you know, you look at the whole deal, right? I don't know how much time we have here, but you look at the whole deal with the used car supermarkets. We've been together for over 20 years. They've been around, the used car supermarket's been around for, I think, 27 years, but my team and us, we've been around for over 20 years. And you've just, it's like anything in life. If you've done something long enough, you've seen every situation, you know how to handle every situation, and that's what we do extremely well with our jobs, is we know how to get the best deals for the consumer, we know how to take care of the consumer. Do we make mistakes? I've said this every time I'm on air with you guys, yes, we make mistakes. Mm-hmm. We do everything we can to fix those mistakes, and we take care of them, and all that stuff, but I think we're just an incredibly great company to purchase from. The used car supermarkets themselves is its own little company. And I think, you know, for the majority of everything that we've done over all these years, it's just worked out fantastic.
And just for the consumer out there, that leads to them actually appreciating your time.
Yeah.
You know, and whether it's a mom that's trying to get the kids to practice or it's a dad rushing from work to go do something else, your time is limited. And you guys have really been able to narrow this thing down, not waste people's time, but – you know, somebody brings in to sell a car to you, you've got it pretty locked in that you're going to be in and out the door pretty quick.
Well, we're doing over 1,000 transactions a month when you look at all of the trades and things that we're doing, but it's, you know, 650 retail units a month.
You've got to be efficient.
Yeah, you have to be.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's only so many employees you can afford and have and stuff. So we have an incredible accounting office, incredible people. That's the largest in the state. It's pretty remarkable what these guys have been capable of doing. I mean, they're just phenomenal people. And so if I'm going to go somewhere, I just want to go somewhere I know that someone's going to be able to take care of my needs and handle me quick and tell me what I need to do and get me in and out, man. I don't want to deal with all the garbage of people not knowing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And these guys know what they're doing. They're a little seasoned, right? They're older. We're a little older, but, that's wisdom.
But that means there's nothing they haven't seen.
Exactly. It's wisdom.
You know?
Yeah, so we can sure help you. And
somebody comes in like, there's no way you can help me. I'm in. I've seen worse. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and the vigor's just not there to fight through every single tiny little thing. So it's kind of nice to, you know, when we tell a customer we can do something, we can do it, right? We get it done and we move on and we're not just, running and gunning, going hard. So we can do everything that we say we can do.
Well, come on down here. Hang out with us. We're live here at Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket. We got some Jazz gear still up for grabs, so come by and grab that. 10990 South Automall Drive. Stop by, say hi right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Steve Tate with us, 97.5 and 1280 The Zone. Steve, what do you think about the Pac-12 getting rid of divisions?
I think it's probably needed. Divisions don't mean a heck of a lot if you're the division champ of the South and North. I don't think it means a lot in the grand scheme of things other than, I guess, being able to play that championship. So I think it's good. I think, getting away with it and having the best teams play each other or not preventing the best teams from playing each other just because they're in different divisions. So I think I actually like it. I think that doing away with divisions is probably necessary.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KF.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
SellSports.com. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. Big thanks to David Locke for joining us. Kurt Heedlin's going to join us coming up at 2:05 as well. So we're up against it here, so let's get to the good.
We'll get it really quick. 1965, Scotty, a guy named Jim Ryan ran a sub-4-minute mile in high school. He ran it at 3 minutes, 58 seconds. And that goes all the way back to 1964.
You have to wonder how the record keeping was back then, too.
Yeah, exactly. How close it was.
Yeah.
It was just broken for the first time in 60 years, nearly 60 years. Guy named Gary Martin, a senior at Archbishop Wood High School in Pennsylvania, ran a 3.57 mile, and you just don't see it. Never happens. Hasn't happened in 6 years. And as you mentioned, who knows in 1965 how close that recording was or how close those numbers were. This kid legitimately did it. And I actually had to pull up some pictures of him just to look at, like, I just want to see this athlete that did it. You pull up the pictures and you're like, huh, that kid did it.
Broke it in less than a second, too.
That's incredible.
That's awesome.
He's just kind of a long, slender. I guess, that's what runners are, but he's just I don't know if you've looked at him. It's not like he's overly slender. It's not like he's overly built as a runner, but he went out and did it.
Just pulling up a picture of him right now, and Yeah, that dude looks like a wow.
He's actually got broad shoulders.
Yeah.
But the calf, he looks like he's got Kevin Durant legs.
Yeah.
You know, just really tiny little legs. And I know some of these marathoners, that's what they have.
But. Glad the AV club let him out for a while so he could run that mile.
But actually, I actually think the...
come on.
it was well done. I actually think that these milers aren't exactly marathoners. These milers have a sprint. And the highest level marathoners seem like they're sprinting. But pretty incredible feat by a high school kid in Pennsylvania running a sub-4-minute mile.
All right, Hans and Scotty, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Well, outfielder Jake Sanford, drafted by the Yankees in the third round of 2019, had promising power. He had 22 home runs in 56 games in his last year of college. And last year between Class A and High A, had some good numbers. But he was released by the Yankees last week. Part of that reason, according to sources that told NJ.com, is that he was stealing equipment from teammates and selling it, per multiple allegations. Story started to spread that rather quickly on social media that in the last few weeks, some fans started to post messages saying they were scammed out of money in alleged memorabilia sales by Sanford. His signing bonus with the Yankees after being in the draft, $597,000. So, again, not sure where the money went, but it went somewhere, and now he's stealing stuff and trying to resell it.
Could you imagine being a professional athlete stealing stuff? And it's not like he was stealing wallets. Not stealing. He's just stealing. You know, he's stealing cleats or stealing jerseys or stealing a bat or a glove, and he's throwing it out there and selling it. And multiple people that were buying this stuff were being scammed or being told that it would be sold to them, and then they'd miss out on the bid. It's a no-brainer. This guy gets caught, and the Yankees are like, and he's cut from the Yankees for stealing. They're saying that there are a couple of other things, but this was the lead story. Jeez. Cut because he was stealing from his teammates.
You moron.
I just can't even imagine.
I mean, it's like going on a recruiting trip and stealing a camera. You can't do that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand that a little bit more than a guy that just got a $600,000 signing bonus.
And then still having the guts to sign with that team after you did it.
He sure did. And then not ever admitting it. Blaming it on his friends.
I actually think you brought it. We had him on air and you brought it up.
Well, next time we have him on air, I'll bring it up again, just in case. I do remember he argued his case. I wasn't sure if he argued his case on air.
I couldn't remember. I remember being a fly on the wall with the conversation of you two talking about this.
I do know this. He pulled me aside, and he was like, can you stop with that? He's like, please stop with that.
Yeah. I could understand if I were him that I would want you to stop with that.
Yeah.
He said, the second time you brought this up in the last couple of weeks.
Well, you know, to Hans' defense, I was the one that brought it up.
He said, you're really throwing gas on this situation.
Oh, for hell's sakes. Oh, jeez.
All right.
Oh, man. I just wish I could swipe this story away.
I'm done.
All right. There's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Well, we talked about the first segment of the show, Hans. Nick Saban singled out Texas A&M. Lloyd, I don't know if you have that clip from Nick Saban, but for, quote, buying its top-ranked signing class and threw a spotlight on the unintended effect of name, image, likeness, said that Alabama players themselves did make around $3 million doing it the right way, though, and that only 25 players were able to leverage NIL opportunities. Here's Nick Saban, and again, the quote came out last night on Twitter. Everybody's like, did he really say it? Is this real? And then here came the audio quickly behind.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
So if you could, please, on your way out, because this was a booster function last night, if you could leave your checks with us, make it payable to the Alabama Collective Excellence in Football Fund, and you can be on your way. We'll also send a nice T-shirt your way. I forgot about the Ole Miss Lane Kiffin quote on recruiting day when he said Texas A&M is going to go into the luxury tax, how much they paid for their signing class.
Is that the best quote?
Oh, man.
Lane Kiffin's having a heyday. I think he's out there loving every second.
Yeah, Lane's living his best life.
He is. And I think he's figured out how to leverage it. I think he's found out how to laugh it off a little bit. Because he's having to laugh it off. Remember, Lane Kiffin is an employee of Nick Saban as well. So he knows where some of the bodies are buried.
Oh, yeah.
But he's out there having a blast with this. I saw him tagging Neon Deion Sanders in a tweet with a big old laughing emoji saying, ah, look at what Nick's saying about you, Neon.
Yeah, Nick.
He's egging this thing on.
Nick did go on, or yeah, Nick Saban went on to take on, as you mentioned, Deion Sanders, said, hell, read about in the paper. I mean, Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to their school. It was in the paper, and they bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it. I mean, these guys at Miami, they're going to go play basketball there for $400,000. It's in the newspaper. This guy tells you how he's doing it. One thing we've learned is that if there's one person on this planet that still has a newspaper subscription, it is Nick Saban. He's probably the last guy.
The last that I know of. So he mentioned the kid that took the million, this Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Did you see the kid tweeted?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I got $1 million, yet my mom and five other kids are living in a two-bedroom house or something like that. It was just like, yeah, I took $1 million and we're still broke. How does that make any sense? Nick doesn't do things like this without some type of motive. He's got a motive. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just as simple as something that you were saying where he's trying to tell the boosters, essentially, if we don't start cheating and cheating better, well, doggone it, we're going to fall behind in this race.
Yeah.
Because it kind of felt like that was a bit of an angle, like,
oh, it was 100%.
Look at what everybody else is out there doing, and you guys are sitting on your wallets.
I think it was also a threat. In his way, Nick Saban was threatening, being like, hey, look, we're Alabama, so anything that we want to do, we'll do better than you. We're not doing this right now, but if you keep pushing us, we're going to do it, and we'll do it better than you, and we'll steal all the recruits.
Yeah. We'll pay more, and we'll get more.
Yeah. So just prepare yourself for that.
Could be the case.
Jimbo. By the way, who names their kid Jimbo?
It's got to be a nickname, right?
I would assume so.
Yeah, I would hope.
Now I got to find out, what's Jimbo Fisher's real name? Hold on. Jimbo Fisher, born John James Fisher Jr. I'd probably go with John or Jim James before I went with Jimbo.
Yeah.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, Whole World News. Next, Kurt Helin at 2:05 right here on The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
We're joined right now by Ben Bolch, UCLA Bruins beat writer for the LA Times. You mentioned the 3-0 start because the non-conference schedule is soft. It's all at home. But the next two games in September at Colorado and home to Washington, shouldn't the Bruins be 5-0 when they host the Utes?
Absolutely. You know, you can already kind of circle that Utah game as the Pac-12 South showdown game. I mean, of course, there could be a surprise in waiting before then. And certainly if UCLA stumbles in those non-conference games, the complexion of their season changes entirely. But I think given what they have and assuming no significant injuries, 5-0 is pretty solid bet going into that game. And it would be a lot of fun to have game day back at UCLA for a second consecutive year and a buzzworthy game that we haven't really seen in a long time around UCLA.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
World in our hands.
And Scotty, yeah, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hey, by the way, I got the first complaint. Utah Manny? I can't, whatever. He said undrafted Aggies ahead of first round picks on this list. This list. 1660 is available for you. Okay, what is there a first round potential first round pick that we left off the list for Utah on the top 1660?
No.
Okay.
There is not. There may be a draft pick or two. You know, you got incoming freshmen. Everybody's going to argue that these incoming freshmen should be on there. How do you not have the Barton kid? Yeah. How do you not have the running backs? Like, no, we don't do the freshman thing.
We don't do freshmen.
It's 60 of the best players in the state that have college snaps. And we just want you to go vote on it. It's live at KSLSports.com. Click on the banner, and it'll put you right into a portal where you can vote on these guys.
All right. By the way, I've got the first-round stats for John Daly, who, by the way, is allowed to be in the PGA Championship because he won the PGA Championship back in the day.
Correct.
Hard to believe he's got that title. I think he's got a British Open title as well.
He's also petitioned and has the rights to drive a cart in the PGA Championship.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. He's got a cart that he can motor around in because of his arthritis.
Yeah, so he does have a I've got his stats for his first round. Nothing to do with the score. I don't know what he shot, and I don't care.
Nobody cares.
But these are more important stats.
These are stats that are kept, right?
Will Brinson, who followed John Daly hole for hole for his first round, added up all the numbers here. So for the first round, John Daly went through 21 cigarettes, 12 Diet Cokes, 6 packs of peanut M&Ms, and exactly 0.0 ounces of water. Attaboy,
it's
John.
Hot out there, man.
Attaboy, John. You go out there living your best life. You go do it, man.
There's no way if he's walking, he's doing that. Because I told you, Tiger Woods came off the course, and he was just had beads of sweat coming down his face. Like you can tell, it is hot.
John sliding that backside into a cushioned chair to get from one shot to the next and throwing a couple of peanut M&Ms back. And there was a minute he was 2 under.
Daly?
Yes.
Wow.
He started the round, I think, through 5 or through 6. He was 2 under, and everybody was – the conversation became, who would be a bigger storyline to win this, Tiger Woods or John Daly? It's like, come on, that's not even a storyline. John Daly. If John Daly won the PGA Championship, everybody would be like, no, we can't give this guy a cart. What do we give him, a cart? He's out here smoking ciggies, chugging Diet Cokes, and winning PGA Championships. They're still called ciggies, aren't they?
Heaters?
Yeah, heaters.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I can't believe he pulled back 21 of those, though.
I know, right?
So that, what, about an hour and 45 minutes? I guess he didn't take back 21 cigs in a...
That is a lot.
Is that how long that's a first round in the PGA Championship?
Yeah, what do you think? An hour and a half, 2 hours?
2.5, 3 hours.
Oh, is it that long?
Well, I don't know.
I bet 2.5 to 3.
For 9 holes?
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
Wait, for 18 holes.
No, I was thinking 18.
Oh, for 18 holes.
For 18 holes.
Closer to 5.
Yeah, that's what I... Okay.
Yeah, 4.5.
Oh, you said 9 holes. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry, that's where I got confused. Yeah.
Taking in a lot of ciggies, man. That's incredible.
That's just burning. That's just chain smoking right there.
That's a lot for Travis. Yeah.
Okay. Now, see, you're not going to defame the man.
I can't even defend myself because my mic's not even turned up, you big heathen.
Now you made him mad.
It's on now. You got that button ready?
You know what? I'm just going to step on back.
Hope you get that button ready.
And there it is.
Did you say sulker?
Yeah. Yes, that's what he said.
What do you think I said?
That's what I thought.
Well, I saw you sulking.
I know. Hey, for real, though.
Put on your swim trunks.
We have got to get people in here with their cars.
You know how I can tell that people haven't been coming in off of this particular station?
How?
Because I haven't had to give anything away for free. Like, I've actually, I haven't given a car away, a free service.
Speaking of away.
Whatever else you give away.
I mean, next person gets a...
How about we do a free Porsche?
I was just going to do a free service. But,
Free service. No, we got to do something. Let's put a special. I saw you do have some beautiful cars out here, man.
Yeah.
You guys are locked and loaded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are those Porsche, is that, did you buy those off like people? Or is that like something you go to the auction?
There's multiple sources to buy cars from, yes. So we buy them all over the place.
Where are you buying mostly? Individuals?
Yes, individuals. You guys kill me. You know what? The big green dealerships where I save you thousands upon thousands. I have to do all of my own advertising, by the way, so that everybody's aware. So I take care of my clients and my customers. And if you want something free today, we're going to leave it up to me, not these guys, because they'll give everything away. I think we should give away a 3-year maintenance agreement.
Whoa, really?
$675.
People only do that for like maybe a year.
3-year maintenance agreement. What do you think? Is that cool? That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
So you didn't even give that to me when I bought a car.
You come by. Well, you don't deserve. You come by a car. Well, plus your wife. I like it when she comes in, and brings her car in. She always talks to me a lot. Spends a lot of time in my office.
Love the car.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah. What do you?
So. So you don't get this at any other radio station.
No,
nobody else does.
No,
this,
are
right?
you kidding?
No, you only get this with us.
Yes, just with you guys. Yeah. That's why you guys are still on and knocking it stiff. Right? Yeah, so doing really well.
All right. So
3 years.
Anybody comes by and buys a vehicle, is there like a timeline? What's like today or the next?
Let's give it through the weekend, considering today's Thursday.
Oh man, your guys are going to hate you.
So anybody that they have to say this ad. They have to say, hey. God, I had a lot of jokes right there, dude.
I know, and I'm thinking
of them in my head, but I can't, I can't let them out. You
I
know what I mean?
It. Yeah.
It's best for all of us.
I heard you on 97.5. I have to do this. I'm not good at, this political thing. Yeah, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and I heard that you're giving away a 3-year maintenance contract if I buy a car from you this weekend. I want to hear that.
Any of the dealerships?
Any of the big green dealerships. Yeah. There's 6 of them across the Wasatch Front. There's one in Orem, one in... Well, 3 in Sandy, 1 in Murray, and 1 in Riverdale.
Yeah.
So get out there and buy it. So through the weekend, all you got to do is mention 1280, 97, or you can just mention Hans and Scotty. Hans. Just mention the show.
No, just the show. I don't want to hear your guys' names again.
Okay. Just the show.
Just the station.
Fine. mention the station. You can mention the day part.
Yeah, okay.
Just those guys on from 12 to 3.
All my friends are going to be coming in because they give me crap every time I'm on this thing. So they listen to you guys all day long. No one really knows why, but they do.
They're forced to.
Yeah.
So you just mentioned the show, and you're going to get a 3-year maintenance agreement.
And why do I get so much crap from you guys when I'm not around? So my buddies are telling me what you're saying behind my back not around.
That's
no.
Doug.
No, that's Doug.
No.
Or that's
Mike.
Doug.
No,
Doug
no. Mike. None of my guys. This was none of my
that's
guys.
Johnny V.
I'm just telling you right now. You almost been through every one of my stores. Is there someone else you want to list? Is my office manager
those
coming down?
Those are the only three I know.
Every time we're on remote and you're not there, I'm always like, oh boy, here we go. It's
coming. You know, last time we had Travis on here, we had to ban him.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I didn't even say anything.
No, you tend to. You
no, tend not to. At all.
So free 3-year service group.
It's a maintenance contract.
Did you say?
So maintenance contract covers the oil changes, rotates tires, cabin filter, which I know you don't even know what that is.
I haven't heard of it.
Because that perplexed look on your face. Some would call it dumb. I don't like to call it dumb, but that's what they would say.
I've never heard of it.
Face. And then the filter. Buffled. The filter. Yeah, there you go.
So what is that? $675.
$675.
I like just how you know listening. That, like down to the
have
number
to.
Too.
Yeah, well, you have to.
Yeah.
All you got to do is listen. All you got to do is mention it. Come in and buy a car this weekend. It comes with the purchase. It's that easy.
It's real simple.
Any one of the dealerships.
Any one of the dealerships.
And we got Jazz Gear 2 here at the Sandy location, 10990 South Auto Mall Drive. This is the first one too. See that big old number one on there?
No, the first one was right there.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, 10910. Okay. So that was the lot number one over there, and then we moved over here in 2011.
Is this still trucks and imports, though?
Yep. That was the main hub. Dude, we used to sell over 200 cars at that little tiny spot.
Jeez.
It was awesome.
What did you have all this around you at the time?
The aroma. I mean, it was just from the small restrooms and stuff. It was just awesome. Dude, it was awesome though. We had so much.
Did you have all this around you? All these other dealerships.
This was a Toyota dealership. Remember, this was Carmel and Toyota.
Sure.
So this was Toyota. Yeah, and then Dean was over there and those guys, and then that was Stockton and Malone Honda. So it's been quite a while, and then, the little...
And you were out selling them all.
Yeah, we were knocking them stiff. They hated us. Especially 08 and 9, we smoked them, dude. We were killing everybody in the market, and they were just so pissed.
Well, because you go in the new place, and you're like, well, how much is this car? And you find 20,000 off depreciation just in a year, 2 years' time.
Yeah, Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Come by, hang out with us. 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. Kurt Heelan joins us next.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.